The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweigh the dangers which are cited to justify it.
This is Dane Wigginton with the Global Alert News Hour, episode for November 19th, 2016. As always stated at the beginning of this show, this is a commercial-free news hour with no commercials because what we face is too important, the threats are too immediate to cloud up the issues with commercials. So this show is paid for out of pocket by geoengineeringwatch.org. It's broadcast on KQMS throughout Northern California on 1670 AM, 99.3 FM, and 105.7 FM. Recording of this show is available at geoengineeringwatch.org under the recent top stories and radio columns, also on the KQMS archives. As always, I'll try to cover as many dire issues in this show as possible. The most pressing issues, which are often not the same as the mainstream media headlines. In fact, almost always not the same, because mainstream media's job is to hide the most pressing stories from all of us. That's their purpose. That's their point. That's their assigned task. For those who want to get a recording of today's show or any of the last five shows on the PRN radio network, which rebroadcasts this program on the East Coast, the call-in podcast number is 701-719-0991. Very simple process. Any one of the last five shows can be accessed anytime over the phone. Silent Epidemic DVDs, again, the untold story of vaccinations, extremely important for any parents who care about their children. And I am truly, I'm sorry to say, astounded at how many parents are unwilling to even investigate the facts because they're too buried in denial. I'll get to more on that subject, denial, later in this broadcast. We need to overcome that if we're to have any chance of survival, if our children are to have any chance of any future whatsoever. 9/11 Architects and Engineers for Truth DVDs, also available at Orchard Nutrition. All we ask is that you put that DVD to use, that you share it with others. They're paid for out of pocket by geoengineeringwatch.org. We're simply trying to get the truth out. Help us to do that. Also, Vaxxed, very important documentary to watch. Again, available online, I believe, for $3.99. If our children aren't worth that, something's very, very wrong in our society and our culture. And again, for all the people that wave their flags, and I know Veterans Day has just come and gone, and I salute the veterans of our country who did what they did out of an honorable motive. I salute them, but I also plead to them and the current service members, consider what you're a part of now. Consider what you're being used for. And if you don't consider that, then you're a part of the problem. And that shouldn't be, because each of you has taken an oath to protect the Constitution and your countrymen from all threats, foreign and domestic. And we face unimaginable threats, very immediate threats. In fact, much of the decimation has already been done. But we can try to change courses if we work together. And we can't change courses without the help of our military brothers and sisters and our law enforcement and all people and agencies that are currently, for the most part, with almost no exceptions, towing the line for the power structure in one way or another. Because that's where the paycheck and the pensions are coming from. We have to get past that point. What matters more? A paycheck and a pension, or a planet that supports life. Certainly, it's the latter. For full presentations on the climate engineering issue and other issues, they're available at geoengineeringwatch.org for free. They can be shared, emailed out to others. We always make all our information available for free. We don't sell anything. Here's a statement from very long ago, from Plato. Something to consider very deeply, and then we'll start the program. Those who are able to see beyond the shadows and lies of their culture will never be understood, let alone believed, by the masses. That's the world we live in right now. Nothing has changed. Many people who don't read older sources of wisdom and literature from the wisest of the wise throughout the ages are not connecting that dot. Yes, we have many other things affecting our mindset now. We're sucking in aluminum and barium and other toxic heavy metals with every breath from the climate engineering issue. We're eating genetically modified foods. We have fluoride put in our water. Who in their right mind would want to drink industrial waste? That's what fluoride is. It's designed to reduce objective, assertive thinking. And it works. iPhones, media distraction, all of this designed to dumb the population down so that they don't see the tidal wave that's closing in from all sides around them. And it's closing in. So things were the same regarding human nature, even in Plato's day. Although it's worse now, much worse. On that note, what the societal mindset has difficulty even considering as a possibility, for example, very briefly, the New Zealand earthquake that just hit, some very strange circumstances around that earthquake, not just that earthquake, but the Japanese earthquake, the Haiti earthquake, the former New Zealand earthquake in the same general area in Christchurch in 2011. I cover this at geoengineeringwatch.org. For those that want more details, you should go and look and try to answer the questions for yourself. I simply try to pose the data. You can come to your own conclusion. But does anyone find it strange that in these major quakes, U.S. diplomats leave the area before the quake occurs? Is that a coincidence? And for those that understand a microwave oven can heat and actually explode something inside that oven if it gets hot enough because it heats and boils the water. That's with very little power. What would happen if you have ionosphere heaters, large ground-based radio frequency heaters like HARP? You have dozens of these around the globe that can concentrate their signals into a certain specific location, bounce that signal off the atmosphere, and put it straight down into the strata of the planet in a seismically sensitive zone. What would happen? And when we see over and over again U.S. diplomats leaving these regions before these quakes occurred, I mean right before, as in this last quake in New Zealand did horrific damage, John Kerry left 2 hours before the quake hit. John Kerry first went to New Zealand, then went to McMurdo Station in Antarctica, where there is an ionosphere heater, the same type of radio frequency microwave transmitter I just mentioned, went back to New Zealand, and left 2 hours before the quake hit, from the exact region where the quake hit. Is that a coincidence? Is this a coincidence in the former New Zealand earthquake in 2011, where U.S. diplomats were meeting in the same region where the quake occurred? They packed it up and left on the days they were still supposed to be engaged in meetings and went to a safer region before the quake hit. Why? Why did the same thing happen in Haiti? Why does MIT, one of the world's most recognized research institutions, they report over the Haiti quake, over the Japanese quake, anomalous atmospheric heating, extreme heating, directly over the epicenters in the days before the quakes? Is that a coincidence? Go for more details into the geoengineeringwatch.org article, and you can decide for yourself if this is possible. But let's ask ourselves how many people would have thought 200 years ago, or even 100 years ago, that a nuclear bomb was possible. How many people would have believed that? We have to challenge our preconceptions. We have to challenge our ideology and our bias, because everything is at stake. Absolutely everything is at stake. Above all problems, all other problems and challenges we collectively face, what's the most critical? So many things, so many news stories, so many sources of distraction for everyone. Everyone has a personal interest. Everyone has a certain challenge they think they want to try to help with, whether it's saving orphaned animals or orphaned children or starving children or some political endeavor or a bird or a butterfly. There's so many different worthy causes, if you will. But what's the most critical? And I say this again and again and again because I want people to understand this. All other causes, all other challenges become moot if we have a planet that no longer supports life. That's the bottom line. And everything plugs into this. Everything has a factor. The elections, the military actions that are taking place, all of it's connected to this bottom line. The planet's not just warming. It's not just global warming. And for many people, they think, well, that must mean it's global warming is a hoax or it's global cooling. Those notions couldn't be more false. Here's some clarity. The planet's not just warming, it's in free fall to what is more correctly categorized abrupt climate shift. That's what we face. And climate engineering is exacerbating this trajectory. It's making it worse, not better. In the military's addiction, and those in the military, their addiction to power and control, and I'll get to more clarification on that later in the show. In fact, I'll get to a very brief but concise psychological report on those who claim, or crave rather, power and control. But because we have a military-industrial complex that runs the world, and what they're after is ultimate, total power and control, they will stop at nothing to get and achieve this. This is where our military brothers and sisters come back into play. We need you to wake up to what's happening. Or very, very soon we'll have nothing left to salvage. And with geoengineering, this incredible mechanism of power control, and geoengineering includes the type of atmospheric heating, radio frequency transmitting facilities that I just mentioned, like HARP. Most people have heard of HARP in Alaska. But again, many of these facilities around the globe, so they not only can direct their energy into a single location, bounce it off the atmosphere and put it down into the strata to create seismic activity in a seismically sensitive zone. And even History Channel has covered this. Not that they cover much, but this is very scientifically documented, what happens when you microwave the strata of the Earth. But these facilities are also used to maneuver the particles in our atmosphere that are being sprayed by jet aircraft. And on that note, by the way, finally we have some media coverage from Denver, Channel 7. I'm sure anybody could search this online. Noted an aircraft making loops over Denver. This was on Thursday of this last week. And many people finally noticed, and the TV station tried to find out with the military and all the local airports whose plane that was spraying in big circles over their region. And nobody will admit or disclose whose jet that was. And interestingly enough, and I'll get to more on this in a moment, on the chemically nucleated snowstorms that are being created. That's exactly what's happening over that region, happened rather on Thursday. Moisture is pumped into the region, much of it even from the Gulf of Mexico, warm moisture. It's chemically nucleated, so we see temperatures going from 80 degrees to 40 or 30 in a day, or it can snow at 40 degrees. The temperatures come down as that cold air is created. Cold air is dense, cools down the mercury on the ground because we have record temperatures in so many places around the country and around the world, so the climate engineers are desperate to cool down whatever region they can at whatever cost to the planet, to the environment, to the overall warming of the planet, because climate engineering, although they can create short-term, incredibly toxic cooldowns, it comes at the cost of a worsened overall warming, weaving that back into the military-industrial complex and the global elites craving for power. They will not let go of these weapons. They won't. The only way we can stop them is to wake up our military brothers and sisters and the rest of society and stop cooperating. Stop facilitating the insanity. To our military brothers and sisters, stop facilitating this insanity. How far does it have to go? So again, above all other problems, if our planet doesn't support life, it's game over. That simple. And climate feedback loops, many people don't understand this either. It's not a simple equation. There's perhaps as many as 50 feedback loops happening right now, which accelerate that warming, which make it completely nonlinear. It accelerates the crop loss, the ocean die-off, the massive UV radiation that's baking us all. And again, one example of a feedback loop is this. And let's relate this to climate engineering. And I'm not saying climate engineering is the only problem with the planet. Anybody who thinks that is looking through a blind eye. Because anything that affects the energy balance of the planet affects the climate. And countless forms of anthropogenic activity affect the energy balance of the planet. Anybody who says otherwise is simply speaking from ideology, bias, and preconception. It's not reality. But I want to relate one feedback loop more directly to climate engineering so the people might understand better what a feedback loop is. the forest fires that are burning all over the globe, which are related to the protracted droughts that are happening all over the globe. We have fires in the southeast, as many know, fires all over the west, all over the world, with exceptions between drought and deluge. We have this massive swinging of the climate. Climate engineering is the most direct causal factor with the massive forest burndowns. Why? Because the climate engineers are intentionally trying to reduce atmospheric RH, atmospheric relative humidity. I was told this, in addition to the data that backs it up, but I was told this from an insider that worked for Oak Ridge Labs. I was told this on a conversation. I recorded that conversation and posted it. So in their myopic tunnel vision pharmaceutical thinking, the climate engineers in the military-industrial complex, in an attempt to keep business as usual, to try to keep the military machine expanding, the cancer that runs the world, trying to hide the climate breakdown severity from the population. They're trying to reduce atmospheric relative humidity. Back to the forest fires. So we have less rain because particles in the atmosphere block direct sunlight, which diminishes evaporation, which diminishes convection. That diminishes wind, which also diminishes evaporation. Everything feeds on itself. So we have less rain falling on the forests. The rain that does fall is highly contaminated with elements like aluminum. The effect of the bioavailable aluminum on root systems is well documented. It stops nutrient uptake from those organisms, so the trees begin to die a slow death. Spraying of the particles in the atmosphere as part of the solar radiation management climate engineering programs are destroying the ozone layer, period. We'll publish more on this soon because, as I stated earlier, geoengineeringwatch.org is working with, directly and exclusively working with, a 40-year aeronautics engineer, former NASA employee. We've supplied him with the equipment he needs to correctly meter because he can't get accurate data from any official source because the job of those sources is to hide the data from the public, and they now know he's looking for it. But climate engineering is shredding the ozone layer. We'll publish more updated information on this soon. So we have the incredibly intense UV radiation also frying the forest trees from the top down. We have more dry lightning strikes because the atmosphere is more electrically conductive due to the particles. So we have less rain, toxic rain, intense UV, more dry lightning, and we have an incendiary dust coating the foliage on the trees, which causes them to burn much more fiercely. And we have fire agencies all over the planet, all over the country and all over the planet, admitting on the record, fires are burning like nothing they've ever seen before. So again, when weaving this into climate engineering, what's the greatest source of forest burn down and how is that a feedback loop? So now the forests are burning down, all that carbon is released into the atmosphere. And for those who say, and I've heard this so many times from people who have no idea what they're talking about, carbon is wonderful, the more the better. Carbon is necessary, but too much is hugely harmful to the entire web of life. The oceans, for example, are 30% more acidic than before the Industrial Revolution, and ecosystems are failing because of that carbon. And CO2 is a blanket. It does hold in heat. If it was not for CO2, we wouldn't be here. That's what allows the planet to retain enough heat to support life, but too much, and the energy balance is thrown off. And the planet is currently warming at the thermal energy rate of 4 to 5 nuclear bomb detonations, Hiroshima-sized bombs, per second. The heat released in 4 to 5 nuclear bombs the size of Hiroshima per second is what's pouring into the atmosphere right now. Earth's energy balance is completely off the rails. It's heating radically fast, and climate engineering is making it worse. So the CO2 from the forests that are burning, as I just stated, enters the atmosphere, and that causes even more heating, and the soot from those trees settles down on ice deposits as far away as the poles, the Arctic and Greenland especially. That makes the snow dark, which means it absorbs more heat, which means it melts faster, which means much more heating overall the planet. And especially in the Arctic, where the ice is melting from the sea surface because ocean temperatures are at record warm levels, astoundingly high levels. Some places in the Arctic are 25 degrees above normal. And for those that don't understand the ramifications of sea temperatures 25 degrees above normal, it's incalculable, it's incomprehensible. So that's thawing methane on the sea floor. Formerly frozen methane is thawing, migrating to the sea surface, entering the atmosphere and covering the planet like a layer of glass, which creates even more heating, which makes the forest burn down even faster. The climate engineers spray even more because the only thing they know how to do, apparently, is throw more fuel in the fire in the blind attempt to try to hide the severity of what's happening from the population and to retain their weather weapons of war. That's what they are. They're using nature as a weapon, and they won't give it up. So they continue to fuel these feedback loops. I named one. There may be 50 of these feedback loops involved. The gravity of our situation cannot be overstated. So the bottom line, with cool downs like we see happening right now in the U.S., well, actually we had on Wednesday, Thursday, we've had for the last, 17 months in a row, each month warmer than the last, each month breaking the all-time record for the month, for warmth, month after month. And although some studies say we only had 14 or 15 months in a row, others say 17 months in a row, but the bottom line, it's getting hot unimaginably fast. And by the way, we've just passed, I think, the 381st month in a row of above normal temperatures. And climate engineering is stopping the planet from being able to respond. If they weren't climate engineering, what would happen with our forests? There would be much, much more rain on the planet, much more. And although water vapor is a greenhouse gas, it does many other positive things. And the lower lying clouds, the cumulus clouds, are what really cools the planet. We know that the geoengineering aerosols are warming the planet overall because they trap more heat than they deflect. And they do all the other things I just mentioned. If they weren't geoengineering, the forests in so many locations, even though the temperatures are warmer, would be thriving. And that means those forests would then start to absorb carbon as they should, not to expel it as they are. The planet would try to compensate, and it can't compensate right now because climate engineering has the planet in a virtual straitjacket, a toxic straitjacket. It's killing everything. It's the single greatest assault against the web of life ever launched by the human race, short of nuclear cataclysm, which we may have soon now as well. So we have other records like record low tornadoes right now, near record low tornadoes in the U.S. Why is this? Back to the aerosols. They're disrupting convection. You have this layer of light scattering particles that disrupt convection. So tornadoes actually go down when they're heavily spraying. The hurricanes, as I said, show after show, record hurricane drought for the U.S. 11 years now. While we have record increase in hurricanes everywhere else in the world. How many red flags do we need to see clearly that they're climate engineering? And when they try to engineer a cool down again, which they just did across the U.S. to try to hide some of the record heating that's going on. And by the way, in the record heating, we're seeing an underreporting of temperatures, not an overreporting, but an underreporting of 4 and 5 degrees. That's an unimaginable margin. Huge. Check your temperatures. See if the official highs are what you really are metering. Everywhere we check, we see an underreporting, which means it's hotter than they're stating. Also, if it's an engineered cool down event, they'll take 1,000 records from a given geographic area. If the same area was undergoing record warmth, they would take 6 records, which makes it look like it's not as warm as it is, because you only set a few hot records, but you set a whole bunch of cold records in the same area. How can that be? One more way of hiding the data. Now, on the engineered snowstorms, I know many people don't believe, they can't imagine, how could you engineer a snowstorm? How could man have the technology to engineer a snowstorm? But not only do we have the patents for this process, some of which go back to 1950, chemically nucleated engineered snowstorms, we have mainstream media covering this. Not so much in our country, at least not where anybody can see it. But going back to even 2009, where the Chinese admitted they were engineering, and I want to read some from this actual report, which Popular Science covered, Fox News covered, anyone can look this up. But because we're entering winter, because it's so warm, because chemical ice nucleation is going to be such a massive part of the geoengineer's effort, highly toxic materials to chemically engineered what should have been rain into snow, highly toxic, all of which enters the web of life. I want people to understand more thoroughly that this is real. This technology exists. It's being used. We have people lying on Weather Channel and all sorts of other weather disseminating agencies, all of which are owned by the power structure, all of them, because they have to control the message. That's why Monsanto bought Climate Corp for almost $1 million. That's why we have international corporations that own Weather Channel, Rothschilds owns Weather Central. They control the message. Raytheon does all the weather modeling for National Weather Service and NOAA. Again, both of those organizations have federal gag orders on them. Think about that. All the weathermen have federal gag orders. So the power structure is doing everything they can to hide the severity of climate intervention that's currently going on. So let me read from this report, and then we'll get on to some other news that is imperative as well. Quote, Chinese scientists create second artificial snows over Beijing. From this report, Chinese scientists have artificially induced a second major snowstorm to wreak havoc in Beijing this season. And this is, again, this is not a new report, but it was covered by all mainstream media, so I want people to understand that this news is out there. State media said today, reigniting debate over the practice of tinkering with Mother Nature. Always a bad idea. Continuing from the report, after the earliest snow to hit the capital in 22 years, and that's what creates the headlines. They can create some headline that makes everyone jump up and down and yell global cooling, or the planet's not warming, even if it was 80 degrees the day before. We have to get past our preconceptions and biases and look at what's causing these headlines. So they caused an early snowstorm in Beijing. They turned what should have been rain into snow, caused a headline, created some distraction for the population to confuse them on the true state of the climate. The report continues, the capital was again shrouded in white yesterday, with more snow expected in the coming 3 days, the National Meteorological Center said. The China Daily news source there, citing an unnamed official, said Beijing Weather Modification Office had artificially induced both storms by seeding the clouds with chemicals. How about that? They admitted it on the record. I trek into the trailless wilderness near where I live to escape the insanity. Sometimes I have to. And after a chemically nucleated storm in 2012, when I was in deep canyons, and this is again where there's no other roads, there's nothing out there, I actually saw where some of the melt-off was in a pond in a backwater. The sediment was blue. It was blue. I had nothing to collect the sample with. It's very rough country. I didn't bring any materials with me at all. I was simply trying to examine the extent of damage because these chemically nucleated snowstorms, it's like a cement snow. It sticks to the trees. The trees' root systems are already weak from absorbing the bioavailable metals, which I mentioned earlier, so the trees fall over. Because this snow, again, it's almost adhesive. This is why we have the big cattle kills, the livestock kills I've mentioned over and over. And by the way, it looks like perhaps as many as recent headline as of yesterday, 80,000 reindeer dead in the Arctic due to shrinking ice pack and the effects from that. That kind of carnage is going to continue as well. But the bottom line is these contaminants are at a massive scale. They're affecting the entire web of life, and people need to start connecting the dots. Put the iPhones down. Start to look at these processes, what the power structure has at their disposal, the kind of control that they have. And I shouldn't say control either. It's more of an ability to create chaos, weather chaos. But they are engineering events, and when the temperatures swing 50, 60 degrees sometimes in the course of a day, if you think that's normal, it's not. Continuing from the Chinese scientists' artificial snow report, the office refused to comment on the report when contacted by American Free Press. Again, Fox News and Popular Science covered these chemically engineered events, snowfall events over China. And if you think China can do it and we can't, think again. Think again. Final statements from the report. Yesterday, an official had said the storm was, quote, natural, reversing their earlier announcement. I wonder why. People don't really care too much when this second storm caused $1 billion worth of damage over Beijing. City weather officials have previously stated that such methods are aimed at alleviating drought over much of North China. But residents have griped about the flight delays, traffic snarls, canceled classes, and other inconveniences of surprise snowstorms, saying officials could warn them if they are planning to toy with the clouds. Isn't that interesting that did we not have any of the population in China care that these are extremely toxic chemicals being used? They only care about the inconvenience? And that's sort of the mindset we have, isn't it? For a society that thinks fracking's okay, that toxic heavy metals and vaccinations is okay, that spraying the sky with toxic metals that we can inhale with every breath is okay. Just don't inconvenience us. Just give us a little warning. And Americans are no different. Final statements from this report. Beyond the day-to-day hassles, experts said the weather manipulation had other undesirable side effects. Really? What a surprise. Quote from a Chinese official, no one can tell how much weather manipulation will change the sky. A professor said from the Institute of Atmospheric Physics at the Chinese Academy of Sciences. He says again, we should not depend too much on artificial measures to get rain or snow because there are too many uncertainties up in the sky. Is this a surprise, really, that when you completely derail the natural life processes of the planet that you're going to get a bad result? Final paragraph here. This is important as well. A little background before this final statement. When you create artificially chemically induced snowstorms, then you use many other types of toxic materials to try to clear that snow from the streets so society can get moving. And that does horrific damage. So here's a statement from this report on the Chinese-induced chemical nucleated snowstorm. In 2005, the snow-melting agent to clear the streets was responsible for killing 10,000 trees in Beijing and decimating 200,000 square meters of grassland, the paper said, citing official statistics. Now, isn't this the mentality of the human race, the pharmaceutical cure for the human body? And how many commercials do we see? Again, take this for this ailment, and here's 20 other side effects that are far worse than what we are attempting to treat with this pharmaceutical product in the first place. And again, the next commercial is an attorney saying if you took last week's pharmaceutical, you can sue this company and that company if you're permanently damaged or dead. What kind of society are we living in? Where is sanity? Where is reason? Now, on that note, this last Monday, I chose to end a commitment that I had made to be a co-host on a Christian Financial Network radio broadcast. And I'm not a member of any particular belief system institution. I believe they all have merits and negatives, but I was asked by the host of this show to co-host on Mondays, which I have done, although it's gone a bit rough, and I finally walked away this last Monday. So, we on a Christian radio show, going back a number of weeks, the host stated that we should turn Iran, or we should wipe Iran off the map. That's what this host said. We should wipe them off the map. This is from a Christian host. I'm not faulting Christianity, by the way. Not at all. I'm simply saying that how many people claim a certain label but don't really follow the doctrine. And I would argue this is one of those cases. And I confronted the host on the air. How could he possibly make such a statement that we should wipe a country off the map? A country that's been demonized by our media, and I don't agree with the religious fundamentalism going on in Iran either. I don't think dichotomously. It's not this or that. But how could a Christian radio show host say we should wipe a country off the map because our mainstream corporate media has demonized this country, a country that, again, hasn't invaded anybody, which I told him this on the air. I confronted this host on the air. It was very uncomfortable for both of us, I'm sure. But I couldn't bite my lip. So how could he make such a statement? And he, to his credit, retracted that statement later, but it was very alarming to me. But as several weeks have gone on, and I've tried to bring to the forefront of the attention on this Christian Financial Network show, that all their financial maneuverings, and I think Christianity should be about something else besides how to best manage your portfolio, shouldn't it? We're required to be good stewards of the planet. Every credible belief system teaches this. But I kept bringing up again and again and again, how much would their finances matter? How much would the amount of gold or silver in their portfolio matter when the planet doesn't support life? And I couldn't get this across to this host or even another co-host that was on. That none of that was reality to them. And they didn't want to know. I kept forwarding data, kept giving links, kept backing up everything I said. Oceans are dying, crops are failing. Species extinction rate is through the roof. We're not going to be around much longer on this course. Oh, to them, that was all just conspiracy theory. The trained knee-jerk mantra of how many people that don't want the truth, because if they knew the truth, if they actually faced the truth, they might feel some sense of responsibility to end their personal pursuits of whatever it is they're doing and start helping in the fight for the common good. So this last Monday, I'd had enough. I absolutely had enough. I could not take the hypocrisy anymore. And I walked away from that show. I think any decent human being would have walked away. And it was interesting to see the replies from the host for me doing that, that he felt very smug in his denial. And this is what caused me to walk away on Monday. I brought up the fact that the oceans are dying. And he said, no, that's not true. I just went to the ocean, and it's fine. And I confronted him. Well, did you walk along the beach, and how could you tell by that? I've dove all over the planet. I've seen a lot of this firsthand. I've spent a great deal of time on the oceans. And not to mention the data that's available right now that makes clear the oceans are dying by the day. Nope, he just went there, walked on the beach, it looked fine to him. That's the kind of mentality we have. Total, utter blindness. And there are none who are so blind as those who refuse to see. And he went on to say, he and the other co-host went on to say that the oceans are the creator's mechanism to fix everything we do. They're meant to be trashed. They're meant to have toxic waste dumped into them, and they'll fix everything. It's just automatic. It'll just happen because that's how it's made. So we don't have to worry, according to these hosts, what we do to the oceans. It'll all be fine. It'll all just fix itself. I was so shocked at that sort of mentality, and they hadn't looked at any data that I'd sent, and that they would feel that they had no sense of responsibility to be good stewards of the planet, to leave a living planet for our children and not a dead one. Couldn't take the hypocrisy, and to call themselves Christians, and I know biblical doctrine quite well. Before you knew the truth, your guilt was washed away, and now that you know, your guilt remains. And that's the part they're trying to avoid, it seems. So I would say this, it's incumbent on all of us to confront those who think they're in positions of authority or try to make us believe they're in some sort of position of authority or knowledge over us. They're not. We've been given a sense of reason for a reason. We have a responsibility to use it. Life is a seasonal occupation. We would all do well to remember that. And the season is not very long. What do you want to be found doing when you take your last breath? Part of the problem or part of the solution? So forgive me for sharing that rant and that story, but I couldn't take the hypocrisy anymore. I can't look the other way. I've never been able to look the other way. My problem, I guess, but I don't want to change that. Whatever the repercussions, I don't want to ever look the other way, ever. More headlines. Syria's food production edging nearer to collapse, UN warns. Another headline. Saudis desperately targeting civilian infrastructure in Yemen war. That's what they're doing, just like the U.S. did in Iraq, targeting civilian infrastructure. It's not about freedom. It's not about democracy. And who's arming the Saudi Arabians? Guess where their weapons are coming from? Just a proxy war going on in Yemen, one of the poorest countries in the world. Do we hear anything about it here? We hear nothing. Nothing. All we see is theater, one form or another of theater, and too many people are all too willing to be distracted by that theater because they don't want the truth. But the truth is coming home to roost. You can quote me on that. In fact, it's already here in so many ways, and it's going to accelerate at blinding speed on countless fronts. Another headline. Nigeria faces imminent food shortage. It's happening all over the globe. And once we reach the point where nobody can help anybody else, wait and see how fast everything unravels at that point. And we are almost at that point now. Another headline. Deepening drought in southeastern U.S. sparks over 30 wildfires. Covered some of that earlier in this show, didn't I? Fires are burning all over the globe. It's fueling feedback mechanisms, accelerating the warming. And in that particular case, about the wildfires, the droughted out dying forests and trees, the most direct causal factor for a multitude of reasons is climate engineering. Not to say that the changing climate or the now very heavily damaged climate is just from climate engineering, because that's a very false notion as well, and I know many people hold that notion. That's willful blindness also. Many, many factors affecting our climate. Any form of human activity that alters the natural energy balance of our planet is a form of geoengineering. Any human activity. To think otherwise is just denial. But in regard to the droughts and the fires most directly related to climate engineering. Now, a report from Jan Rocha. I want to read from this because it's important to remember when reading this report about rain, because I'm covering that issue right now, and we're back to, aside from whatever else is going on, if we don't have life-giving rain, if we have oxygen diminishing in the atmosphere, and it is diminishing in great degree to some of the things I already mentioned. When forest fires burn, they consume oxygen. When the forests are dead and burnt to the ground, they don't produce oxygen anymore. They don't absorb carbon and produce oxygen. That's another feedback loop. Everything triggers everything else. Again, it's back to the giant, massive domino structure that you might see on certain TV shows sometimes, where you take one or two dominoes out and the whole thing collapses. And that's where we're headed. So when I read this report that I'm about to read right now, that's about the fact that diminishing rain is having massive consequences around the globe, what this report doesn't mention, as no mainstream source mentions or will mention, is the fact that climate engineering is the greatest single source for diminished rainfall around the globe. So keep that in mind while I'm reading this. A new UN report says climate change impacts on rainfall will have harsh economic consequences for regions such as Latin America and the Caribbean. By the way, in the Christian radio show I left earlier, I couldn't get that point across to them, that when they claim China's a great investment because it's going to have a 7-8% growth rate, China is going backwards right now because they're spending more than that 7 or 8% on just trying to deal with environmental cataclysm. It's accelerating by the day. There is no increase in global GDP anywhere. It's all smoke and mirrors, and the collapsing environment will soon consume all GDP, all of it. Couldn't get that to cross to them. So here we have the UN reporting that the diminishing rainfall will have economic consequences. The report states the UN's latest State of Food and Agriculture, it's called SOFA, report warns that rainfall patterns will have changed so drastically by the end of the century that agriculture, forests, and fishing will be seriously affected. Again, that statement is so ludicrous. It's like we're back to the point we're saying if you jump in front of a semi-truck, you could get hurt. No, you'll be dead. And on the current trajectory, no one will be here long before 2100. Long before. Consider the statistics I've already given again and again and again. We've lost 60% of Earth's wildlife populations in the last 40 years. And that rate's accelerating radically. Do the math. We won't be here in 2100. And they simply say it could affect things by 2100. This is called dumb the population down. Don't give them the real facts. Because for most people, as long as they think something's a little bit further off on the horizon, it's sad to say, but most people don't care. They don't want to do anything today if they can put it off till tomorrow. And that's a very sad state of affairs when our children's futures are at stake. The report continues. It will become more and more difficult to harvest crops, rear animals, manage forests and fisheries in the same places and in the same way as before, says a report by the UN's Food and Agriculture Organization. That's FAO, excuse me. Report continues. And that's a major concern for regions such as Latin America that are economically dependent on agriculture, and the Caribbean, which is heavily reliant on fisheries. Now, you notice they don't say anything about the United States. They never do. And when you look at geoengineering data from all U.S. sources, they always say it could diminish rainfall here and there, but they don't mention the U.S. Never. Because that might concern the American population, and we wouldn't want to bother them with the facts, would we? How could it only affect things in some other part of the world? We need to wake up. It affects rainfall all over the world. Continuing, in Brazil's northeast, for example, rainfall is expected to decrease by 22%. Why is rainfall decreasing on a warming planet? It can't happen without geoengineering. It can't. A warmer atmosphere carries 7% more moisture for every degree C of warming. It must rain more on a warming planet. That's the planet's response mechanism, trying to compensate. But it can't compensate because it's in a geoengineering straitjacket. And it's up to us to expose these programs, all of us, not just some of us, too many people sitting on the bench, too many people. And that has to change. If you're someone that's sitting on the bench, I'm pleading to you, get up off the bench, go to geoengineeringwatch.org, go to other sources, but if you want credible data, please make sure you're sharing credible data, because otherwise you're harming the cause. And if you go to the, if you want instructions on what to do, go to the left side of the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org, activist suggestions right there. There's a flaming arrow link, which is a link that instructs you. It gives you a full intro letter, credible articles, all set to mail out to anybody you can mail it to. Newscasters, meteorologists, organizations, it's all there, but we need your help. We need you to help sound the alarm. Don't sit the bench until the last day when there's nothing else we can do, because we're very close to that. Report continues, rainfall changes. The report says that these changes in rainfall mean that the capacity to face shortages and excesses of water will be fundamental in the efforts to improve productivity. This is all just the notion that somehow technology will fix all that's happening, and that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Technology is what brought us to this point. All over the globe, we have ecosystems collapsing. We have many agricultural operations collapsing. And when we have any article like this one, I want to wind down on this article, but the bottom line is it talks about emissions, atmospheric particulates, but never does it mention climate engineering, the single greatest source of atmospheric particulate matter, likely, mathematically. Never mentions any of that. We all need to learn to sift this out. I want to briefly talk about the psychology of those in power, because with all these things, we're dealing with a power structure that is addicted to power, the people within that structure addicted to power, and a population that unfortunately so far doesn't want to know. And with all the things going on with the election fiasco, there's concerns there, whatever side of the political fence you were on, however things unfold, it doesn't look good. Because you can't erase the kind of issues I've just covered. And when we have the mention of possible political appointees now, after the elections, of John Bolton and Rudy Giuliani, that's extremely concerning. John Bolton ran the death squads in Central America. He should be in jail. Rudy Giuliani certainly knew all about 9/11 and what really happened there. He's a criminal as well. He should be in jail. How could he possibly be appointed for a political office? We are in very, very alarming times. Uncharted territory. Completely uncharted. And the bottom line is this. Whatever other distractions are keeping the public from facing the fact that our planet's life support systems are failing by the day, that better change. People better look at the real horizon and do something about it, because we don't have long. This report from Daniel Bochner, PhD, called The Power and Control Addiction, from this report. Of course we know why people seek power and why they need to control others. Seeking power indicates the need to overcome an inner feeling of powerlessness. Needing to control expresses a feeling that things in general, and especially other people, are out of one's control. These traits seem to run rampant in the world around us, especially with those in power. All of us are affected by these traits in very, very negative ways. Those who want power and control are even more upset by others who want power and control, more than the rest of us, due to their competitive nature and their view that there can be only one dominant person. For someone not afflicted with these desires, the power and controlling are irritating because they step on everyone's toes with rarely any awareness, or even more rarely, any regret. It's also infuriating that those seeking power and control often achieve power and control and often seem to garner even more respect than anyone else when they don't deserve it. It's clear as well that those seeking power and control are not mentally healthy. However, their success is intoxicating to them, thus making the possibility of change extremely limited. Power and control are so intoxicating, in fact, that these traits can be considered to be highly addictive. And there are many power and control addicts. The world is, in fact, saturated with them, especially in positions of power. Consider that. And the percentage of the population that's clinically psychopathic or with psychopathic tendencies, about 4%. Report continues. There are problems for the person who seeks power and control. That is, the power and control addict themselves. that might make them think twice about their ways, if only they could become aware of those problems. But the prevailing feelings of power and control prevent awareness of the problem. Essentially, power and control are defenses against feelings of inadequacy and weakness, fear, being unlovable or unloved, and being worthless. Much deeper issues of power and control going on with those in the military-industrial complex, but it does come back to this type of root. Report continues. Obviously, if a person feels such wretched feelings, there is huge motivation to keep those feelings under wraps. Power and control specifically help in keeping those feelings hidden. Of course, if someone is feeling powerful and in control, it is unlikely that they will feel inadequate, unloved, or worthless. We have people like this running the planet. No empathy, no compassion. As I've mentioned in a previous show, what did Madeleine Albright say when she was asked if she thought it was worth it that the sanctions against Iraq, a country that had nothing to do with 9/11, that had no weapons of mass destruction, the sanctions against Iraq killed 500,000 children. What did Madeleine Albright say? She thought it was worth it. Does anyone doubt that she is one of this type of personality trait? Does anyone doubt that? Or the rest of the people that we see in government, whether it's the Clintons, the Bushes, or I'm sad to say anyone else, do we doubt what's really running the show? The shadow government, those behind the curtain, do we doubt the type of personality trait those people are? We shouldn't. And again, what it will take is all of us to stand up and to stand against the gathering darkness, because it is absolutely gathering at blinding speed. A healthy and productive perspective on what is in our power and control is this. The only thing we own, the only thing that's truly in our control, is the correct use of our own will, no matter what circumstances we're given, no matter what. That's all we own. Everything else can be taken. And those who doubt that are not looking through a clear lens. The only thing that can't be taken is your will. Someone can put a gun at your head and they cannot take your will. You have to give it. And how many people do we have that have sacrificed their honor, their virtue, their morality? But if we use this greatest gift correctly, our will, if we use it diligently and honorably, how much might each of us affect and impact the world for the better? Even at this late hour, as the saying goes, to set a single foot on the correct path is to have arrived. The journey is the destination. The destination is the journey. We collectively face a very dark horizon. And the trouble's not off in the distance somewhere. It's here, now. As I've used examples in the past of, because these are the types of experiences that I relate these to, because I've been in this experience, but when you at night are trying to determine how close a forest fire is when it's coming toward you, and it's very, very deceiving to see the glow, and you don't know if it's one ridge back or two ridges back, but when it clears the ridge in front of you, you know it. There's no more questioning. It's here. And that's the situation that we're in now. It's kicking the front door, and it's not off in the distance. The sooner the population wakes up and refuses to participate in the insanity, the better the chance we have to salvage something. And it's our responsibility to try. But the bottom line is this. No matter how dark the horizon, no matter how great the challenges we face, and no matter how daunting the situation can look, the rules for living are still the same. We must utilize our will correctly and for the greater good, which in the end is for our own good. What will you do with this day? Help is desperately needed in the battle to wake the masses, to share credible information that can help the sleeping to awaken and join the battle to change the current direction of our species. We are currently on a path for certain near-term extinction on our planet, plant, animal, and us. This is a statistical mathematical fact if we stay on this trajectory. Don't sit the bench. Don't tell yourself you're harmless because you're not. Investigate the frontline facts. Arm yourself with credible information. Help us to sound the alarm. Make every single day count. Until next week, this is Dane Wigington with GeoengineeringWatch.org.